So good to be with you today, this Christmas week, special time. Good to see you, Todd. Glad to have you here. The book of Luke opens a whole new page in history. I want us to look a little bit at what happens here. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, the music has ministered to us, the prayer, the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will minister right now to our spirit. That, Lord, we will be strengthened by the word of God as we were strengthened by the music. Lord, we need strength to live the life that you've called us to live. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In your Bibles, the book of Luke chapter 1, we find God about to do something utterly and completely amazing. But let me set it for you if I can. The time has been a time of great struggle and trial for the children of Israel. Rome has been ruling them. They have been crying out to God day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade. For 400 years, the heavens have been basically silent. There has been a time like that during the time of Samuel when the word of God was so rare. God rarely spoke. Nothing is recorded from the book of Malachi till we come into this time. People have been crying out to God for deliverance. They've been crying out to God of their pain and their emptiness and their longing and their agony, and God seems to just not be there. Have you ever been there? When it just seems like, God, where are you? But God is about to do something absolutely spectacular. He is going to bring forth not just his son, but a whole new way of meeting God. It's going to be powerful, but it hasn't happened yet. One of the amazing things is, it's not just going to be kings and prophets that God speaks, but God's going to speak to the ordinary man, to the ordinary woman. And God's going to begin to do something through those that have just faithfully been doing what they've been given to do. Zechariah. I have a nephew, Zechariah. He would not be named Zechariah except for this Zechariah. But if this Zechariah had not happened to him, what happened to him, we would never know the name. What happened to him? He's just doing the work he's called to do. He's a priest. He's not the high priest. Not one of the big priests. Probably not even on the board of the church, the synagogue. He's just doing his faithful job. He has a time every year when he goes to the temple. And during that time, he's in charge of the incense. Could I say he's in charge of the prayer meeting? The incense that goes up to God. He has been praying and praying and praying, and nothing has been happening because he's been praying for a son, a child. His wife Elizabeth has been longing for a child, and she's past the time of life. He's old. Their hope is now gone. They've probably even given up praying for the child because they know now that it's beyond that human possibility of it ever happening. Some of you remember Eddie Piper. I had two sons that I adopted that I loved dearly. I didn't do the best job as a dad, and after they got away from home, I thought, boy, I could have done a better job. He said, Lord, I wish I could do it over again. And all of a sudden, Becky and I, she took the pregnancy test, and we discovered that we were expecting at our age. We called Eddie Piper, talked to Jane, and said, when you talk to Eddie, tell him we're joining the Abraham and Sarah Club. They had the same thing happen in their life. Oh, what an experience it was when that test read positive. We laughed. We said, we're going to name this child Isaac. We didn't, but it means laughter. We named him Ethan. And what a blessing. But I understand the heart cry of Zechariah. He is faithfully going about his work, and he has been praying and probably has given up, believing it's now impossible. And suddenly, while he's about his ministry of offering incense and prayers up to God, suddenly an angel is standing there beside him. It scares him. Angels have a way of doing that. I don't know why. But every time you hear in the word of God and an angel appeared, the first thing they have to say is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm here to do a good job for you. He's troubled. Zechariah draws back. He's afraid. And the angel said, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Wow. A little late. It's too late for that, don't you realize? I'm old and my wife is old and she's past her time and really can't happen, can it? I said, oh, let me tell you about it. And he says this. The angel said unto him, verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Wow. What a promise. But you know what he does? He faithfully fills out his term. He doesn't go rushing home, doesn't tell the good news, but he does say to the angel, I'm really too old for this. My wife is too old. How will I know that it's going to happen? And the angel said, well, you know, if you'd have believed me, but you didn't believe me, so you won't be able to speak until the baby's born. So John comes out. The people are there in prayer. Isn't it interesting? They're still praying, even though they haven't been hearing much. They're faithful in their prayer. And so Zechariah comes out, and the people notice that something's different about him. He can't speak, but there's something happened, and they somehow get the idea he's seen a vision. He goes home and writes everything out now. Good thing he knew how to read and write. Writes it out, tells Elizabeth. She becomes pregnant. And the miracle has begun. What miracle? God is about to break forth in great power. And he begins with this simple couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Not big names, little names. Not big people, little people. Just my kind of people. What's happening? God is about to show that his kingdom is a supernatural kingdom. I want you to know something. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is a supernatural kingdom. God does things that are outside of the realms of possibilities. God does things that cannot be done in the natural world. God breaks forth in a powerful way, saying, I am here and I alone am able to do what is being done. Trust me, you can see great and mighty things if you only believe. I am going to do supernatural things. Wow. All of a sudden, there's a young girl. She's been a godly young girl. She's prayed and lived close to God. She's kept her life pure. And one day an angel appears to her. Not just any angel, the angel Gabriel, one of the great archangels of heaven, appears to her and says to her, let me read it to you. The angel came and said to her, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Isn't that an amazing thing? They haven't heard from God for 400 years. The saints are still being faithful. The righteous are still living righteously with God. They are still praying. They are still with God. And all of a sudden, here comes this angel, and a voice comes saying to him, You are highly favored of God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Here is the fulfillment of all of the ministry school lessons that they've had. The promised Messiah that they have been looking for hundreds of years. The promise that we read from Isaiah today is about to be fulfilled hundreds of years later. You see, with God, you need to understand something. He doesn't see time like we do. We're so bound by time. So bound by it. One of these days, time will be no more. We're not going to be bound by time. But, oh, everybody's been so bound by time, and the shepherds are there on the hillside, and they wait night after night, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, thinking about maybe this will be the year that Messiah will come. The angel says, How can this be? The answer is, God is going to come, and there's going to be a miracle take place inside of you, and you're going to bring forth, a virgin shall give birth to a child. And even now, your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months along in her pregnancy. Elizabeth? She's expecting? Yes, Elizabeth is expecting. And so Mary says, I'm going to go and visit Elizabeth. And she comes into the house where Elizabeth is. And she says something like this, Elizabeth! It's your cousin Mary. Notice what happens. When her voice comes out, it came to pass in verse 11 that Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which the Lord told her. What has just happened? Prophecy is coming forth from a woman that has been a priest's wife, but she's just an ordinary person. And suddenly, out of her mouth comes a prophetic word. The Lord is saying, you're going to live in a supernatural world. Elizabeth, what happened? You remember the angel had said to Zechariah, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. What happened? Mary walks in expecting Jesus. She's in the first month. Elizabeth is in the sixth month. She walks in and she says, Elizabeth, the babe within Elizabeth leaps for joy. What happened? He's just being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And John is filled with the Holy Spirit before he's even born. What's happening? Look at what happens. 3 months after this, Elizabeth gives birth to the baby. And everybody is happy about it. They all gather in. Everybody comes. Everybody's rejoicing. Elizabeth has had little Zechariah. Oh, wonderful to see little Zechariah. And his mother says, no, that's not his name. His name is John. And they turn and they say to, there's nobody in your family named John. Why are you calling him John? And they go to, this is always interesting. They go to Zechariah, who can't speak, but he can still hear. And they make signs to him, trying to help him understand. All they had to do was say, But because he has this handicap, they think that he can't hear too. And so they said, what is it? And he writes out, his name shall be John. And when he says it, Zechariah is filled with the Holy Ghost and begins to prophesy. And the word of God comes out. And he begins to speak this amazing prophecy. What's happening? God is coming into this world. And he's coming in with supernatural power. And he says, I want my church to be born in supernatural power. I don't want you to be living in the natural. Yes, we live in the natural. I like chocolate ice cream. I like vanilla ice cream. I like caramel topping on it. That's all natural. There's nothing spiritual about that at all. But can I tell you something? There's a spiritual world we live in. And in that spiritual world, we have contact with the living God of heaven. And he hears our prayers and he answers them. And he moves upon us. And he tells us what we're to do. I walk into my office almost every Saturday night. I don't know if I told you folks this or not. At my age, I can repeat. So I walked into my office on Saturday night. Oftentimes, I have no idea what the message is. No idea at all. And I don't panic at all. Because it's God's business to give it to me. When I was in my first church, the president of the Alliance was there, and he said, young men, you ought to be in your office at 5 o'clock every Monday morning asking God for the message, and by Tuesday you ought to have it, and by Wednesday it ought to be all written out and ready to go. And I thought, oh, I'm doing this all wrong. I'm doing it all wrong. And so Monday morning I was in my office at 5 o'clock in the morning, after being in bed about midnight, and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm getting nothing, absolutely nothing. And Tuesday morning, 5 o'clock, I'm back there and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm getting absolutely nothing. And Wednesday morning, I dragged myself into my office at 5 o'clock in the morning and said, Lord, I'm supposed to have the message on Monday. I still don't have it. And God, I am so tired. He said, son, go back to bed. I'll meet you on Saturday night like I always do. Now, I don't advise other pastors to wait till Saturday night. I advise you to find out how God speaks to you and obey him and let him speak his way. Because, you see, we live in a supernatural world. And God still speaks. And God knows what the needs are. If I tried to figure out what the needs of my congregation or this congregation were, I'd never come close to it. All I know is that God wants to speak to us. And he spoke to Elizabeth, and he spoke to Zechariah, and he spoke to Mary. And can I tell you something? The coming of Jesus brought other things, dreams and visions. Do you remember Joseph? He's engaged to be married to Mary, this pure, wonderful girl that has lived such an exemplary life. He has absolutely no doubts to her virginity, absolutely no doubts to her lifestyle. She is everything he has ever dreamed that he would be. And then somehow he discovers she's pregnant. And his world comes crashing down around him. And he decides, I will not make her a public example. He could have. He could have taken her out and had her stoned. He could have dragged her in before the high priest and made her life absolutely miserable. He could have done any number of things. But because he was a just man, he said, I'll just quietly divorce her and I'll walk away. And that night he has a dream. And in the dream an angel comes and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take unto Mary your engaged wife. For that which is born of her is of the Holy Spirit. She is going to bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. You see, God is working supernaturally among some very ordinary people. John. Joseph. Elizabeth. Mary. Zechariah, just ordinary people. But God is doing an amazing thing working in their lives in a powerful way. Jesus, about to be born, receives, Joseph gets this decree. Caesar has decreed that everybody has to go to the land of their original birthing place. If you are a tribe of such and such, this is where you have to go. Joseph and Mary are of the tribe of David. And so they have to go to Bethlehem, about 80-mile trip with an expecting wife. They feel they have time to do it. They have to do it. The law has come. What they don't realize is that God is supernaturally moving on the heart of Caesar to declare that Jesus will be born, according to prophecy, in Bethlehem of Judea. And he's up in Nazareth and he has to get to Bethlehem. God knows what he's doing. And he works in this powerful way. And they get there and you know the story. He has to be born in a stable cave and he's born. And there's some more of the ordinary people out there. In fact, They would not be considered high class in any way. They're just ordinary shepherds out there. Some of the old men and some of the boys that are there on the field, and they're gathered around their fire that night, and they've got the sheep in the fold, and the protection is there, and they're watching their sheep and going through the night and telling the stories that you tell around a campfire. And someone may have mentioned, oh, you know, we've been looking for Messiah for so long. And somebody, oh, they've talked about that when I was just a kid, and they're still talking about it. It'll never happen. Not in our lifetime. It may happen someday, it'll never happen in our lifetime. And suddenly, while shepherds are keeping watch over their flock by night, lo, the angel of the Lord comes upon them, and the glory of the Lord shines round about them. And they're terrified. They fall on their face. And the angel says, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And the shepherd said, let us go and see this wonder. Let us go and see this child that is born. And they went and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe. And they went out and became the first evangelists and told everyone. They have seen the Messiah. What is the message today? Simply this. God is a supernatural God working in supernatural ways. And when your natural needs need a supernatural answer, your God can meet every need. The word says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You are a people blessed with life, but you're also blessed with the supernatural life. For when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are born again. We get a new birth. We come alive in a new way. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. We see the world differently. Let me ask you this. Are you living in the supernatural, or are you just grinding along in the natural? Lift up your eyes. You're living in a supernatural world. Since the Savior came, Jesus grew up, showed supernatural power. He could walk on water. He could speak to the sea and the winds died and the waves collapsed. He could speak to the blind and they could see. He could say, stretch forth a lame arm and it would stretch forth. He worked mighty, mighty miracles. But then he went to heaven. The disciples saw him go. They looked up and saw him disappearing. Two angels stood by and said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that went away is going to come again in like manner. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Can I tell you this? If you want to be used of God, you need to tarry in Jerusalem, your Jerusalem, wherever that is, until you be endued with power from on high. You say, what's that? Same thing that happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth. You need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Blessed Holy Spirit, just fill us with your presence. And after that, things will happen in your life that you would never have dreamed could happen. Supernatural power will begin to flow through you. Now, you don't become a superman. You become a man filled with a superpower. And what will happen is you will hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I wonder how some people ever follow the Lord because they say, I never hear his voice. I'll never forget one night I was preaching in, I think it was Owego, New York. I was in evangelism and there was a young missionary about to go to the field was there. And she came up to me and she said, Pastor, you can talk about God speaking all you want to. But she said, the average person never hears the voice of God. She said, I've never heard his voice. I thought you're going to the mission field and you've never heard God's voice. Something a little bad here. I didn't say that out loud. But I said, well, ask God. She went home that night. She reached to turn on the TV and the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, leave it off. He said, I want to talk to you. She went to the field and I was at a meeting where she was 4 years later and we're both sitting at the same table and somebody's talking to me and I'm trying to listen to her and not listen to the one that's talking to me because she's sitting down here and I'm eavesdropping on her. And I want to hear what she's saying. And all of a sudden I heard her say, you know, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I said, thank you, Lord. That's all I wanted to hear. She's hearing the voice of God. God's children need to hear his voice because we serve a supernatural God who came into this whole new covenant time in a supernatural way, and he baptized the church on the day of Pentecost with supernatural power. And we serve a supernatural God who says, if you'll let me, I'll use you. I'll use you in some very special way. You say, what will be those ways? He has ways of taking ordinary situations and making them supernatural situations. When all of a sudden you're doing something and you get words that you wonder, where did that thought come from? Your counseling. I've learned something on counseling. I try to keep my mouth shut until God speaks. And so I just listen and listen and listen. And I'm listening to what they're saying, but I'm waiting to hear what God says. Because I discovered if I speak too fast, I say the wrong thing. But if I wait for God to speak, he'll give me the word that they need to hear. And he'll do the same thing for you. This is how God works. And God will speak to you and he'll give you a word of faith for something. It may be something you never dreamed when we went to build our church. The Lord spoke to me and he said, I want to build your church without you going in debt. I said, wow. The Lord had told me he would do that once before and the church turned it down. Up in my first church, they said, no, it doesn't work that way. Interesting with them, they struggled to make their payments for years and years and years and years. And finally, one day, after struggling for some like 15 years to make their payments, a person walked into the church and said, Pastor, we want to pay off your mortgage. Stranger to them. Just walked in, paid off their mortgage. The Lord was saying, you see, I could have done it all along if you'd have just trusted me to begin with. Wouldn't have had those 15 years of struggling to make the payments. What am I saying? I'm saying God built our church and parsonage. God can do anything if we listen for a word of faith from him. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, help us to understand that you are a supernatural God. You're not bound by our naturalness, Lord, to the point that nothing can happen in our life, but what? Unless we make it happen, God. That's not what this Christian life's all about. Help us to understand that you are the supernatural God, and you do supernatural things, and you use your ordinary people in supernatural ways to see the hand of God at work. We thank you, Lord. May we do those supernatural things in the power of your Spirit, for we ask it believing you, Lord. Amen.